We're going to be in 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 10 today. Use your gifts and see the Lord. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you for your grace that you give to us in various forms, and especially in the form of your word that you've given to us to direct us and to show us your love for us and how we can reply to that love, respond to that love, and love you back and love others. Help us to do that today and to hear from you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm confident this morning that each person in here has at least enjoyed giving a gift or receiving a gift of some sort, or a type of people that like to give and receive gifts. Well, I got a short list that I found here of gifts that were not received so well. First one is a re-gifted book. Now, re-gifting usually isn't a good idea, especially if it's a book and you include a personal message in the book that was written to you. And you just cross it out and give it to the next person. Or an initial pen, not so bad. But what if it has the wrong initials on it? You know, you can still use the ink, but it's kind of not the same thing. An 8x10 framed picture. Like I said, that's not a big deal, but it's somebody else's newborn baby. That's not so bad if you're the grandma. But that's really the only time you should get somebody else's picture of a newborn baby. Four is a bathroom scale. I don't have to say too much of that one about that one. But if you get it from your boyfriend, that's what it says. Bathroom scale from the boyfriend. That relationship didn't work out. Deodorant. But like I said, I don't have to say much about that one, right? You're sending a message for sure. And then last, this is not a full list, but the last one is live animals. Has anybody received a live animal as a gift? All right, so what do you do? If you don't want it, what do? I mean, you feel so bad to get, I mean, you can't just put it in the closet like you do all your other gifts, right? Or it's going to start smelling. Yeah, it's all right. I mean, Katie Fritz, she brought the best white elephant gift I've ever seen. A kitten, a live kitten in a gift bag. You still have it, Zach?
Yeah, we still have it.
All right. Zach and Alex fought for that thing. They wanted it, actually. But it's different if you don't want it. You're not sure if someone's going to want it or not, right? So those are some gifts that weren't received so well. Now, God, as we know, with no surprise, he's one who loves to give gifts. He loves giving gifts. And Jesus himself said it is better to what?
Give
than to receive. Now, God surely likes, he doesn't mind giving, right? He doesn't mind when we give him praise, right? We give him our time, energy, our worship. He doesn't mind getting, right? But he says it's better to give than to receive. He enjoys to give. And I think when Jesus said that, it was more, not so much just to keep us from being gripped by greed, but really to reveal God's heart, to reveal his experience. He knows it's better to give than to receive as God. He enjoys it. And so he wants us to know life, eternal life, as such as he lives. But he will never give a gift that caused you to sit back and say, man, I just wasted my time unwrapping that gift. He'll never do that. He'll always give you what you need. He'll always give you something that benefits you and benefits others. And in general, as believers, what gift? There's two general gifts we receive: the gift of the salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so in general, as Christians, we get those are gifts: the gifts of eternal life, salvation, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, more specifically, God gives us gifts individually as the spiritual gifts, And there was a study by Harvard Business that 40% of this item, this type of gift, is bought today. The most common gift bought and given to someone, 40% of people buy this. Anyone want to take a shot at what that might be? You've probably done it. Yeah, thank you. Gift cards, 40%. Now, I'm guessing if you're like me, I like convenience. That's easy, but it can be easy, but you also can say, yeah, I put a little bit of time into it, and it shows you that I know you a little bit, you know. You buy me a gift to Starbucks, a Starbucks card, it shows, you know I like coffee, right? So you can do that in an inconvenient, and also you can probably save money on mailing, right? You don't have to send a big, giant package. Go buy your own, buy what you want, right? Well, that may not be the best gift to give. It may not be very good to do that because in the same study, in the past 6 years, there have been 41 billion gift cards that went unused. 41 billion. Now, I kind of did my own math here. I think this is right. That would be, let's say that on average, $25 you give someone. So I would say that'd be about $1 trillion that has just gone in the trash. Gift just thrown away. Now, I wonder if we had God's eyes, or maybe if we had Bruce Almighty's eyes, if we can see how many gifts that God has given to people, spiritual gifts that have just been thrown away and not used, gone unused. Well, there's many reasons why we don't use our gifts. Maybe a lot of us have not used our spiritual gifts. I would say I'll put two here, two main ones, I believe. First one is due to ignorance. Ignorance of the gifts. Now, if you look, we have three lists in our Bibles in the New Testament of spiritual gifts. And the most popular one, I would say, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's the one where Paul begins. He begins that very chapter in the list. He says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, let's not just fly by that verse and read the next verse. That's important. Paul says, don't be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be uninformed, because it's crucial that we know about the spiritual gifts, because God wants to use them to further his kingdom, to edify the church, to build up the church. And also, if you read in our text today, just a few verses before that, it's very urgent. Peter says there, "I urge you," and these are urgent times. The last times are here, and he gets into to using your spiritual gifts. So let's not just breeze by that when Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant." I think he said that because people were ignorant at the time, and I think today it is true as well, that we become ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Now, I don't like to use the word "the" because I don't think there's a set list that we can go by. We can see examples. But that leads to our first reason why I think we're ignorant of them, is because we might not think that we possess them because they're not on a list. Because they don't fall on the list. Like I said, there's three lists, one in Romans, one in 1 Corinthians, and one short one in Peter, that are in our Bibles. And if your spiritual gift isn't on there, that doesn't mean you don't have a spiritual gift. Now, I'll give you an example. For example, leading worship. Is that a spiritual gift? Wouldn't you say? It's a spiritual gift. It's not listed in one of those lists. Of course, leading people, you don't want someone up here doesn't have the gift of leading worship. Have you ever seen that before? I've seen it before. It's not pretty. I've tried leading worship before. That wasn't pretty. Let me just be on the drums, knock things over a little bit, do whatnot. Let me play the drums. I'll be fine. Let me be led as I play the drums. But leading worship, that's not me. So there's lists. There's lists, but if your gift isn't on there, it doesn't mean you don't have a gift. And if you want to go back to the Old Testament, you got two guys, for example, in Exodus 31. These guys, you probably haven't named your kids these, Bezalel and Aholiab. Oholiab. God gifted them with special gifts to be artistic gifts to design the tabernacle. A gift from the Spirit, but not on a list, right? Okay, and another way that we are uninformed or ignorant may be due that we think that that gift has to be supernatural. We think it has to be supernatural. Now, there's surely gifts where God manifests his Spirit that otherwise aren't going to happen unless he's intervening directly, but it doesn't have to be supernatural. Like, as we see here, a gift does not need to be supernatural to be spiritual. What makes a gift spiritual is that it is given by and led by the Spirit and used for his tasks. Given by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, used for his tasks. Now, this surely includes miraculous gifts, like supernatural gifts, like you might say prophesying. You might say, or speaking in tongues, physical healing, instantaneous healing. Now, it includes those, but like I said, it doesn't have to be supernatural. Like some that are listed, the gift of giving, being generous, helping, service, offering hospitality. And I want to talk a little bit on hospitality because it's interesting. Back then, when Paul wrote that, when he put that on the list, I think he put it on it because it was a much needed gift at the time. Because back then, missionaries, it was hard. They didn't want to go to a hotel. Hotels were really expensive, or an inn. They were really expensive, and they were just filled with filth and immorality. And as a missionary, you want to be in the world, not of the world, but you also want to get a break from the world at some point. And so to house a missionary, that was greatly needed back then. And also, do you guys know how long it was before the very first church building was built? Since the church age? 200 years. So it was not until about 200 years, once Jesus established the church, Christians, until there was an actual physical building. So people met in houses. Right, so that was a much needed gift, the gift of hospitality. And let's say today, if Paul was to put just a few examples on a list, what's one you think that might be really needed today? Just think of that yourself. I thought of maybe like communications, something, especially with the internet, IT and communications. So you think of something, you get to me later. Let me know what you think. So, like I said, ignorance, that's the first reason I think we don't use our gifts. We're ignorant, we're uninformed. Second is that we feel that that gift is really too small or insignificant. We think we're insignificant or the gift is insignificant. Now, listen to this. This is an illustration adapted from James Robinson's Living Amazed. He says, the three smallest bones in the human body are the middle ear ossicles. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Middle ear ossicles. The malleus, incus, and stapes, more commonly known as the hammer, anvil, and stirrup. The hammer is arranged so that one end is attached to the eardrum, while the other end forms a lever-like hinge with the anvil. The opposite end of the anvil is fused with the stirrup, so the anvil and stirrup act as one bone. Though the middle ear ossicles work in obscurity, completely invisible to the outside world, they are absolutely essential to our ability to hear. Without these, only 0.1% of the sound energy that hits the eardrum would be transferred to the inner ear. Just 0.1% without them. But because God has arranged these tiny parts in a way that maximizes their leverage, they produce a sonic effect far beyond their diminutive size. Now, I want to just tell you today that you might feel like your gift or you're insignificant, or that you're insignificant or your gift's insignificant. If you think so, then think again, all right? Think as God would think, as he said through Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, 16 through 19. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, what would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, he says, just not as we wanted them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it were, there are many parts, but one body. So whether your gift may not be on a list, or maybe it appears insignificant to you, do as the Lord commands, which is use it. Use it. There's a lot of cards, and then we mentioned there's a lot of gift cards, right? A lot of trash, aren't there? But there are no get out of using your gift free cards. No excuse not to use your gift. God has given us each a gift or gifts, spiritual gifts, to use for edifying other brothers and sisters, and also for building his kingdom, right? Now, I'm not going to stop right there and just say use your gifts, but we're going to say once you realize what they are, why we should and why we shouldn't use them, or maybe we could say how we should and how we shouldn't use them. First thing we shouldn't do, the first way we shouldn't use them, as you can see here, is out of pride, which can surely easily happen, and it happens a lot. Doing so out of pride. If we do out of pride, first off, I share that for our own spiritual benefit, for our own individual benefit, because pride leads is the most poisonous and deadliest of all sins, because it leads to all kinds of other sins. If you look at every sin, any sin you really want to, really you're showing that you're putting yourself above everybody else by doing that or by not doing that thing. You're saying, I'm more important, my time, my energy is more important. So you look at any sin, and that you can see pride in it. You can see the, I guess, notes of pride in it. So I would say for our own spiritual benefits, we need to be careful, be wary of pride and using our spiritual gifts just out of pride. Because pride is deadly. Like last week we talked about legalism. Thankfully, Doug shared with me right after the message, he said legalism is not just keeping the law, but legalism, to be legalistic, is depending upon the law. Like I can try to be using the law and be legalistic and put myself above others, think I'm better than somebody else. So you can see pride in that as well. So we got to be careful not to use our spiritual gifts out of pride. And don't you think the early first century Christians struggled with pride? You better believe it. I mean, I believe that's why we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's one of the main lists, and also Romans chapter 12, both of them give warnings in the context of spiritual gifts to be careful of pride. Now, in Corinthians, Paul says, the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. That's a way of saying, it's not all about you, right? Watch out for pride. Or in Romans, it's a lot more, I guess you would say, evident. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather with sober judgment. Not judgment intoxicated with pride, sober judgment in accordance with the faith. Who gave you? God gave you. Not that you earned. Accordance with the faith that God gave you. So we got to be very careful when we're thinking about our spiritual gifts and using them, not to be led by pride. It'll lead you to a bad, bad place. And I would say it's quite ridiculous that we do that. I think we've all done it, but it's ridiculous because that very word gift in the Bible, spiritual gift, comes from the word charis, right? To be gifted, grace gifted by God, charis. And the word charismatic we get from that, which really means to be grace gifted. So really, are we not all charismatic? Every Christian is grace gifted by God. So we just let pride get in there and think, oh, my gift's better than yours, or my gift's not as good as yours, right? So-and-so's charismatics, I'm charismatic, they're not charismatics. all Christians are charismatic, and I think it's ridiculous for us to let pride get in there, because that very word means grace. Grace. We didn't earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. We have to use it, but it's a gift. And pride will not just poison our own souls, it'll cause division. Division in the body. Now, if you go to a magic show and you see a body get divided, right? I'm sure we've seen that, right? One half of the body over there, other half over here. Yeah, that looks good. That's entertaining. But as the church, it's not so good. To have a divided body is not so good. It doesn't look good. And it's not a good witness to have a body divided. And you might just wonder, while you're using your gift, especially with other believers, that division might get in there easily, because you got the devil, and knows how important it is for us to be unified, right? How powerful that is. He's at work. And that pride, if we're led by that pride, it'll easily bring us to division, not multiplication. Charles Stanley. I think we got a few in here who know who Charles Stanley is, right? Now, sometimes we can think, pride is, I can be saying, I'm using my gift so well, right? And a lot that, I can get prideful thinking I'm better than somebody else by using it so much. But we can get prideful by not using it, right? Because we can put ourselves, like I said, we can say, my time is more important, my energy is more important, I'm just going to keep it to myself. In a way, you're being prideful, because you're not using your gift for others. You're using your time and energy for yourself, right? Charles Stanley says, as God's children, we are not to be observers. We're to participate actively in the Lord's work. Spectators sit and watch, but we are called to use our spiritual gifts and serve continually. Now, I'm not going to end there and say how not to use our gifts. We're going to conclude saying how to use our gift. If we're not supposed to do it out of pride, how are we supposed to do it? I think this is a pretty easy answer, right? Just like any other commandment, do so out of love. Do so out of love. Now, Jesus said, as Jesus gives us commands, we know when we do a command, he's leading us to life. He wants us to experience what eternal life is. And as we do give our lives and use our gifts for the Lord, we find, part of that is finding eternal life, I would say. Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. If you try to hold on to your life and just do whatever you want, you're going to lose your life. If you try to squeeze so hard, like Jell-O coming out of your hands, the harder you squeeze, the more you lose. But as you give your life to the Lord, and I would say, and use your gifts to do that, you're going to find life. And so if pride poisons our souls, as we are led to use our gifts out of pride, if we do so out of love, I would say it fills up our souls. It leads us to what life really is all about. Now, those two chapters that Paul talks about, Corinthians and Romans, the big ones with the big list, with big spiritual lists, they not only talk about in the context of being weary of pride or watchful of pride, but also they lead us to love. Now, in Corinthians, we know there's a whole chapter right after the gifts list. There's an entire chapter devoted to love. What is love? Because I'm sure believers were not using their gifts out of love. They're using their gifts more to be seen. Hey, who's looking at me? Who sees me being filled by the Spirit? Look how spiritual I am. They weren't doing it out of love. And then in Romans, pretty much the same thing, but in Romans, Paul says, love, like right after his list, he says, love must be sincere. It must be sincere. Now, I've shared before, that word sincere comes from the Latin word sine. Anybody remember? Where's Emma at? She's not in here, huh? Emma remembers everything in Sunday school. It is amazing. I got to be careful what I say. In Sunday school, Emma, she knows, she remembers everything. So last week she remembered. She said sine sire, which means without wax. It means without wax. Back then, first century, a lot of times it was real popular to have sculptures made, right? And these marble sculptures, a lot of times they weren't perfect. There'd be cracks in them, and to fill in those cracks, you put some wax in there to cover it up and make it look better, right? So they had to have ones that had a tag on there that said, sine cire, without wax. So our love is to be without wax, sincere, without wax, because we can love, we can act, look like we're loving someone, but it's really not sincere, and we can have a hidden agenda behind it, right? For example, I called Zach a couple days ago about the trip. I wanted to hear how the Costa Rica trip went, but also to invite him to come work out with Dallas and I, all right? At the end of that phone call, if I'm, you know, I'm trying to show some concern for him in love, if I end that phone call with, hey, oh, Zach, yeah, where's that coffee you were going to bring for me, by the way? So what would my agenda be? To get the coffee. I mean, you know, so we can love insincerely, right? We can love selfishly and do things not might appear loving, but really aren't loving. But our love is to be sincere, and we're to use our spiritual gifts. Use our spiritual gifts out of love, which will promote unity. Pride divides, love brings unity. I don't know about you, but the times of my Christian experience that I felt most blessed is when someone genuinely loved me, or when I was genuinely loving somebody else in the body. That's when I have felt the most blessed and encouraged and motivated to keep on keeping on and keep on witnessing, keep on serving, is when someone, I noticed someone genuinely loved me. And when we do that, we glorify God. What does it mean to glorify God? It's really to show God for who he really is. Now, we can all kind of put a definition of who we think God is, and in the world will surely do that. Oh, God is like this. Oh, have you read the Bible? No, but this is how God, I think God would be, right? Just me with steroids, right? Right? Thankfully, God gives us his word and shows us who Jesus is and what he's about. But when we glorify God, we're showing people who God really is. When you see the glory of God, you're seeing God as he really is. And when we love each other and there's unity, we're seeing God. You're seeing God for who he really is, a God of unity, a God of love, a God of sacrificial love. Again, a God who is holy as well. And so as we do that, that's where we come to the theme of our sermon, which is use your gifts, see the Lord. Because as we use our gifts and glorify God, we see God ourselves as we're using them. As we're serving in his kingdom, we see God more, and others see him as well as we use our gifts. And if you're feeling like you're not seeing the Lord very much in your life, I would ask you, are you using your gift? Have you found your gift or gifts, and are you using them? Use them for the right reasons, right? We do that, we'll see his presence more often. Almost like, let's say you buy a Ford Escape. You never realized the Ford Escape until you bought one, right? Then all of a sudden you see them everywhere, right? Because you're aware of Ford Escape now. And so the more, it's kind of like when we magnify the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, we're magnifying the Lord. We're making him up. He's been there all along, right? But he's getting magnified. He's being seen more clearly and more visible. And I guess I wouldn't say bigger, but bigger than what we've seen, right? Now, to end, I just want to share that we're giving some resource. We have a resource on our website. If you're really wanting to get into detail and see what kind of spiritual gifts do I have that I may not know of, right? So we have an assessment. You can go onto our webpage, which is whcc.life. If you didn't know, it's in your bulletin, whcc.life. Go on there. Jenna put up a spiritual gifts assessment on there. So it's just a quick 104 questions. You go through that real fast. And it'll be worth it, right? You might find your gift just in doing the test, right? Completing the test. And if you don't do that, there's really one easy way you can see is, hey, that thing, that gift, is it something that you enjoy? I mean, first off, you're going to enjoy it. If God gifted you with a gift to use for his kingdom, he's not going to gift you with something you don't like, so you have a frown on your face every time you do it. That doesn't glorify God. You're going to like it. You're going to like preparing for it. You're going to be looking forward to that next time you can do it again, like VBS, right? Even though at the end of the week, so tired, oh, I'm not doing this again. Every year, we haven't learned yet, have we? Every year, back to VBS. But I love that week, not because it's distracting to me, but I love it because I see how enthused people get. I'm like, man, I don't get that enthused with putting arts and crafts together. Give me the drum set. Let me get my Bible, put a sermon together. Let me talk to some people. I love doing that, but oh man, cutting things and little oh. But I do love seeing people get enthused by that. So that's a real quick, easy way. And by the way, if you're not using it, how are you gonna know that, right? It's just something you enjoy, and something that you want to do again. You're looking forward to do it again. All right. Well, let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are such a gracious and benevolent God, that you give us so many things. Your heart is so generous that you just can't help but give things even when we don't ask for them. You give us good gifts, and God, thank you for the gifts, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit that you give us, and as each believer, the gifts of the Spirit. God, help us, if we don't know what those are, help us to see what you have given us and help us to use it. And so the world can see who you are, who Christ is, and also that we can see you even clearer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.